Welcome to the Ministry Marks podcast. My name is Thomas Majors, and I'm joined by David Haynes.
Hey, Thomas, what's up, buddy?
Not much. David, as we've been sitting here waiting to press record, we've been showing scars. We've been showing scars on our legs and looking over some of the accidents and injuries that we've had over the years. Some hurt and some pain, I guess. And you got a pretty good scar on your leg.
Man, I do. It goes all the way back to whenever I was a kid. Before I ever went to school, so I guess I was 3 or 4 years old, and I was swinging on a tire swing at my grandparents' house. That's my dad's parents' house. There were two big, beautiful oak trees right beside their carport, and I was being pushed on that, and somehow my leg hit a root that extended above the ground, and it cut a gash in my leg. I remember my grandmother crying, taking me in the house, and sitting me on the countertop beside the sink. And I remember whenever she took my shoe off, she poured the blood out of my shoe. Like, it was unreal. It was unreal. She was freaking out. Mom and Dad, I guess, had just gotten off work because they got there and took me to the emergency room. And today I have a scar that, or I'm 45. This scar is over 40 years old, of where I had to get 18 stitches in my leg whenever I was a kid. So I almost cut my leg off on a tire swing. So what about you? What about your scar you just showed me?
All right. So my scar came from a bicycle wreck. I was driving. I was riding. I was riding a bicycle that was from my grandparents' house. So it was an old bicycle. I was riding it through the town of Nettleton. And it was, an old bicycle. It had a metal brake lever on it. And this metal brake lever, I just kind of got off the bicycle and I just dropped it, you know, no kickstand, nothing like that. I just dropped the bicycle. Well, it fell. And the way it failed, that metal brake lever like dug into my knee. And there's this perfect little circle, like somebody took a cookie cutter and just cut it out of my knee. And then there's a scar right beside it, which is also from a bicycle wreck.
Yeah.
I was riding my bicycle in Nettleton by the walking track. And for some reason, my front tire locked up. And when it locked up, I was going pretty fast down this hill, and it locked up. It threw me over the handlebars and I hit the pavement and kind of scraped on the pavement. One of the ladies saw me wreck and she came out and, she kind of doctored me up there in the moment. So, yeah, I've had some bad luck on bicycles.
Hey, were you hit by a car one time?
Yes, it was seventh grade. So in seventh grade, I was riding my bicycle from my parents' house down the road to what was my girlfriend's house at the time. And so I was on this major kind of road there in Nettleton, and it's hilly. It's a hilly kind of road. And so I was riding my bicycle. I was in the right lane and I was going up this hill and I was about to crest over this hill. There was a car that was coming behind me. So what did I do? I just moved to the left lane. Uh-huh. And so now I'm going in the left lane in oncoming traffic. Uh-huh. This car that was coming up behind me was full of four teenagers. Uh-huh. And they decided that they were going to miss me and play chicken by going up the left side of the hill.
Uh-huh.
And so when they came over the hill, I'd already changed to the left side.
Uh-huh.
Because I saw that they were coming. So, and they, like I say, they were going to play chicken.
Yeah.
They had decided they were going to miss me, but play chicken to see if there was any kind of car. Well, when they came over, I was there.
Uh-huh.
And I remember hearing, and I can remember the car bumper hitting my back tire.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, I don't really remember anything. So they of course stopped. They were freaking out. They were all teenagers. They were like seniors at Nettleton High School.
Yeah.
I blacked out completely. Uh-huh. I just kind of remember like getting up, like sitting up and thinking, what just happened? You know? And trying to process everything that had happened. Yeah. Evidently my head hit the hood of the car.
Oh,
there was a big
gotcha.
Dent in the hood. I had a pretty serious injury to my ear about half my ear was falling off, you know, it was like barely hanging on there for a while. I was sore. I was scraped up all over and sore. No major lacerations except for my ear. And I don't even remember which ear it was.
But it's the funny looking one. Trust me.
Students made fun of me there for a while in seventh grade. They're like, look at his ear. He got those big ears. Another one satellite hanging off of his head.
Oh, man.
So I've had some unfortunate accidents on bicycles.
Yeah, what's that old saying? When you have a bicycle wreck, what do you have to do?
You got
to
get back on the bicycle.
Got to get back on the bicycle. A horse kicks you, I've got to get back in the saddle. Absolutely. So, Thomas, what we're talking about today is church hurt. Church hurt. So there are some people who have bicycle wrecks and they never get back on. There are some people who get bucked off a horse and they never get back on. There are some people who have church hurt and they never get back in church. And so what we're going to be talking about today is something that I think the majority of our listeners, if not all of our listeners, can identify with. And we hope that all of our listeners have got back on a bicycle, have got back in the saddle, and have got back in church. Church hurt is real. It exists. And we're going to kind of walk through a few things about church hurt today. All right, Thomas, you know how we like to start our podcast. So what is a working definition that we can give for church hurt as we discuss this idea?
You know, I would say that church hurt is an emotional, spiritual, or some kind of relationship type of pain that a person experiences in regard to the church. Of them being a attendee or a member of a church. So emotional, spiritual, or relational type of pain from church.
Okay. All right. Pain from church is where we're going to be going with this. Yeah.
You brought up a great point.
Thank you. That's why I'm here.
Every person's experienced church hurt.
Yeah.
Even if you've only been in the church 10 minutes. I would dare say that you've experienced some church hurt. Maybe you, for the first time ever, you went to the church, you got saved, and somebody walked up to you afterwards and said, I didn't think you would ever get saved.
Hurt your feelings, yeah.
I didn't think you would ever darken the door of this place. And it can bring some pain. But usually, when it's early on, we forgive a lot.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get to the point where we're not willing to forgive anymore. And then that would be like some significant church hurt. Yeah. But I think everybody has experienced church hurt. Definitely if you've been in church for any period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've experienced it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to take this conversation in a kind of, we're both preachers. Every sermon should have three good points. And so we're going to put three points just from our experience.
Right.
And so listeners, please join right in. We think you're going to be able to identify with this. And first up is both of us have experienced church hurt as members. Just as members of a church. Sometimes our people, the people that we pastor, will look at us as pastors. And I get it. We are pastors. We are ministers. We preach the gospel message, but we've not always done that.
Exactly.
We were simply church members at some point, and we are still. I am a member of First Baptist Church, Senatobia. I am a member of that church. You're a member of Ingemar Baptist Church. But let me go back way, way back when, and I do not want to be specific because I do not want to bring up anything that would ever harm a current person or a current church. But I remember way back whenever I was a kid, seeing a church go through hurt and seeing a family go through hurt. And Thomas, I was so young that I don't remember all the specifics, but it was something like there was someone that had a church position. This was a layperson, just a member, who served the church in a certain way. You know, churches usually have people who will serve and they try to do their best at that. And for some reason, this church wanted this person who was just a lay person. She did a job at the church and the church no longer wanted her to do that job. And I remember it being like a Sunday night business meeting and there were people in that church who thought she was doing a great job at what she was doing. And there were others who said, no, she's not. And there was a business meeting where both sides discussed this. And I don't recall if there was a vote. I don't think there was, but I think the lady basically said, you know what? if y'all don't think I'm doing a good job, then you don't have to worry about it anymore. I'll go somewhere else. And she and her husband left that church. And I don't know if they ever went back, but their family was part of that church. Like, if I were to say their last name, and if I were to say the name of that church, people would say, oh my goodness, well, that church is made up of those people. Yes, but this one certain group in this church with this last name, they went elsewhere.
That reminds me of a song by Johnny Paycheck.
Take this job and shove it.
Take this book and shove it. So for me as a member, I can remember vividly one business meeting when I was just a member at First Baptist Church of Nettleton. And I am calling names because this deeply affected me. It deeply affected my ministry. For a long time, I served in ministry almost gun shy of being voted out of a church. And it kind of goes back to this incident that happened at First Baptist Nettleton. The pastor, and I don't know all of the details, I just know that there were many people who were upset with the pastor. And at a business meeting, someone stood up and called out, I make a motion according to Constitution, bylaw, section, you know, blah, 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 this, that we call for a vote on the pastor. And the pastor was the moderator.
Oh, yeah. And that's tough. Yeah.
He said, why are you doing this? He didn't ask for a second. He said, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And somebody, it was brought up to remove him as moderator. They appointed a moderator for the session. And it got really heated in that moment that even one of the persons in the church, and I've told you about this before, they got upset with another person and said that they would drag them out onto the lawn of the church and whoop them right there on the lawn of the church.
Yeah, that's Christ-like, isn't it?
Yeah, Christ-like. That night, a lot of church hurt happened for a lot of people. Yeah. And it happened for the church itself, too. The church kind of grieved over that process for a long time afterwards, because I was there for a long time afterwards. But even with that, that affected me. I remember going to the pastor's house after that. Yeah. And he asked, well, what was the vote? And I said, yeah, it's been passed. The vote has succeeded to call for this other vote that will come before the church. Now, obviously, he resigned before it came to that part. But I remember going to him and talking to him. And just from that, when I went to Tipplersville as pastor, there were so many times, like, I was nervous. One of the reasons we kept our house in Nettleton was so we'd have a place to live. And we've always, like, I've always thought of that. Well, I need to do this ministry. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, but I need to keep my HVAC license up so I can go back to air conditioned work if I need to.
Yeah.
I need a place I can go to if we get voted out and we can have a place to live. That's church hurt. It affected me for a long time.
Sure, I got you. All right, so Thomas, we have experienced church hurt as members, and then we've also experienced church hurt as ministers. As ministers, we experience it. You and I both served on staff. I was a youth minister at a church. You were a youth minister at a church. We have served on staff, and sometimes church hurt will happen within a staff, like a youth minister may be hurt because the pastor didn't believe in his vision for the youth ministry or didn't support him in an argument with maybe a teenage parent, you know, the pastor supported the parent, not the youth minister, whatever it is. So we have experienced church hurt. I've experienced church hurt as a staff member whenever I was a youth minister. I assume you have also?
I have, yes.
Okay.
And I was serving as a youth minister, and evidently the pastor had told maybe had complained to the deacons about me.
Yeah.
And because a couple of the deacons grabbed me one day and, after a service, and we had one of those hallway meetings.
Yeah, those are the best.
They said, hey, we just want to remind you, your boss is the pastor. Yeah. You got to listen to the pastor. I was like, okay, I think think I'm doing that, you know? And they were like, listen, you, he's the boss and you listen to him. I was like, okay, yeah all right.
Oh, man, that's so funny. For me, I remember when I was a youth guy, the pastor said, I want you to get, the, some of the youth boys were sitting on the back row of the sanctuary. He said, I want you to get them off the back row. And so I went back there and I talked to two or three of the boys. And one of them, who was the leader, I shook his hand. And whenever I shook his hand, I kind of pulled him up out of the seat and hugged him. And I said, man, I said, I need you to come sit up front, you know, with the rest of the youth. It would really help. Well, the next week, the pastor called me into his office and said, hey, I need you to, intercom called me in there. And I went in and this is that young man's dad. And the young man's dad had already been in a meeting with the pastor. And the pastor went and told me to get him off the back row. And then the pastor basically looked at me and said, why don't you have his son get up off the back row and go sit with the rest of the youth? And I wanted to say, cause you told me to. And I said, I was caught off guard. And I said, well, you know, we were wanting the youth to sit together. And the pastor then said, well, you went about it the wrong way. And this parent is here and you need to apologize to him right now. I said, I am so sorry. His parent is now dead. He's deceased. And I said, I am so sorry. Don't you worry. I will never ask your son to sit anywhere where he doesn't want to sit again. I apologize for that. and I wanted to say to the pastor, man, come on. We had this conversation last week. You told me to get them boys off that back row. And I did. They were not on the back row. And now you're upset with me. Come on. And so, yeah, so staff hurt can happen. But you're 100% correct. Whenever you're a youth minister at a church, lead pastor, boss man, you do what he tells you to do. And if he tells you did it the wrong way, you said, yes, sir, I apologize for not doing it the way you wanted me to. And so, yes, that's exactly right. So we have experienced church hurt as staff members, but primarily I'm going to say the hurt that you and I have experienced the most is from being senior pastor, lead pastor, preacher, pastor, whatever you want to call it, is from being the pastor of a church. So Thomas, when's the time that you've experienced hurt as a pastor?
Well, now wait, David.
Okay.
You came up with a great alliterated flow for this, and you haven't used it.
Man, what is wrong? Members and then ministers.
That's right. No, so we've already been through the... We're going to point number two right now. We want you to keep up with
two.
Point number one was members.
Members, yeah.
And point number two is ministers.
And I wrote this and I messed it up.
Yes, as ministers.
Yeah.
I've experienced church hurt. And I'm not going to go into the details, but one that comes to mind immediately was I was pastor of a smaller church, and the church was kind of growing at the moment. And there was a new couple that began to come to the church, and they were older. They were an older couple. They really took Amanda and me under their wings, yeah. You could say. You know, they called. I remember the man would call almost every day and tell me, like, hey man, you're a great pastor. You're doing a great job. I love to hear you preach. And they would invite us over to their house on Sundays, and we would eat a meal with them around their dinner table. And my kids got to the place where they were kind of looking at them. We were living away from grandparents, but they were kind of looking at them as that grandparent type relationship within the church. And then I made a decision one day that this man didn't like. And he came to me and he said, why did you do that? And I said, well, I think this is what's best for the church. I need to do this because I think it's what's best for the whole congregation, the church. And from that point, he called me still almost every day.
Uh-huh.
But he called me almost every day for about 2 or 3 weeks to tell me how sorry I was as a pastor and how I hurt him and hurt his wife.
Yeah.
Literally, we would have a visitation moment in the church. Hey, get up, everybody. Hug necks, kiss babies, you know, all those things that happen in a little Baptist church. And him and his wife would sit through that the whole time.
They would not stand up.
The first time, that first Sunday, they sat there and little Tom-Tom, little Tom-Tom walked over to him and stuck his hand out and was like, hey. And they looked at him. They looked at his hand. And they ignored him.
Oh, man. It's awful.
Oh, man.
That's awful.
And it just hurt. It hurt. I didn't. I didn't see that. My wife saw that and it hurt her. But it was a lot of this tension and kind of drama there for a long time. And I remember when they finally left the church, it was raining that day at this church. And I was standing at the back of the church. Uh-huh. The guy walks to me and he says, I just want you to know that your humiliation of me and my wife has reached its limit today. We will never be back at this church. Uh-huh. And he walked off. And it was drizzling rain.
Yeah.
And I walked out in the rain and talked to him. I said, hey, wait, what do you mean?
Uh-huh.
What do you mean humiliation? I have not done anything to humiliate you. And he's like, I'm just telling you, we will never be back. And when they left, it hurt.
Uh-huh.
Even with all the controversy and the drama that they were bringing to the church, it still hurt me that they left. And I kind of emotionally dealt with that for a long time. I mean, I'm still talking about it today, and it's been years.
Yeah, it's been years.
So it's still emotional, even in that moment. It's kind of true, you know, what the old preachers will say.
What them old preachers say?
Those old preachers would say, the first one to greet you be the first one to run you off.
Absolutely. Sometimes those who seem to be the absolute nicest eventually will stab you in the back the deepest. It is so interesting. So.
Man, that was a wise saying.
Yeah.
That was so good.
Yeah.
What about you, David?
Yeah. So Thomas, all right. So yeah, you have mentioned when people leave, it hurts. And it does. It hurts. But I understand God calls ministers to different churches. God calls people to different churches. And I understand that every time a person leaves a church that we pastor, it is not because of us. Sometimes it may be, but it is not because of us. Maybe because of a divorce. Maybe because of a breakdown in a work relationship. It may be something where I can't go to church with that person because of whatever. And it may not have anything to do with us, yet it still hurts. But let me take you back to the first time that I remember or that I experienced church hurt as a pastor. I don't recall exactly what year it was, but it was the first church that I pastored. Now, I'm about to drop a bombshell. There are some, you know this, so you can sit back down. Quit standing up, Thomas. It's okay. So you can sit back down. You know this, but the rest of people may not know this. For 5 years and 3 months of my life, I was not Southern Baptist. Shocker. I know
I
it.
I remember that.
Pastor one of the best churches ever pastored. Little Creek Baptist Church, Marietta, Mississippi. They're independent missionary Baptist church. Fantastic people. I have great, great memories of the people and the church, but they're not Southern Baptist. They're not. They never have been. Whenever they were started in 1948, I think 1948, they never signed up with the Prentice Baptist Association, never came Southern Baptist. And whenever I was there, so I've always been Southern Baptist except for those 5 years and 3 months. And I would still love to see that church be a Southern Baptist church. And I would have loved to have led them to become part of the Prentice Baptist Association, the Mississippi Baptist Association, the Southern Baptist Convention. And we discussed it. So there was a guy there that had previously been a Southern Baptist. He married a lady that was already a member of that church, and they had gone to that church, and he was the bell cow of that church. I'm telling you, whatever that guy wanted to do, that church would do it. They loved him. He taught a Sunday school class. Absolutely. You are moving your hand in a direction that symbolized money. That dude had correct change. And people would do whatever he wanted to do. And he had my ear. He and I were friends. And he would tell me things. And he's like, man, it would be a dream of mine to see this church be Southern Baptist. Well, it was a dream of mine also. And so we had talked about it. He and I talked about it. And so then we set up some time of meetings. I think I went through our deacon body and went through all the correct channels. And we had two nights that was going to be information Q&A. The first Sunday night was going to be more information. And we had a lot of information about Prentice Baptist, Mississippi Baptist, Southern Baptist. And people could ask a few questions, but on that initial night, there really wasn't any question asking. It was just me sharing and then there being information pamphlets so they could take home with them. The next Sunday night was going to be the Q&A. And then depending on how everything went, then maybe the third or the fourth Sunday night out there was going to be a vote. Do we want to become Southern Baptist, Mississippi Baptist, Prentice Baptist? And the very first night, I noticed he wasn't there. He was absent. And I thought, why ain't he here? He has been telling me for months, we ought to be Southern Baptist, we ought to be Southern Baptist, we ought to be Southern Baptist. I've gone through all this information, all this work, all this trouble, and he's not here. So the second night, the second Sunday night, which was the Q&A time, he was absent again. And I said, son of a gun, that joker has left me hanging out to dry is what sure he has done. And one of the deacons that I greatly love, I did his funeral a couple of years ago. A deacon that I greatly love came to me and said, hey, preacher, he left you hanging out to dry. It is my opinion that you need to drop this. This is going to hurt you if you bring it to a vote. I think we can leave well enough alone. The two Sunday nights that we've had, he said, people aren't going to care. It's not going to be a black cloud over your ministry here, but you need to move on. And I said, yes, sir, you're 100% correct. And I did. I moved on. We never even approached that third Sunday night or fourth Sunday night where we would have a vote about becoming Southern Baptist. And that guy hurt me. Whenever he did not show up after months and months and months of having my ear, I learned then you cannot always trust everybody in a church. And what I think he was doing is he was, this is a, you know, a gambling term. He was hedging his bets. That's what I think. I think he was going to read the tea leaves. And I think why he didn't show up was to, if it didn't pass, he could say, well, you know, I didn't even show up for them meetings is why. Yeah. I didn't come. I knew how it was going to go and blah, blah, blah. And then I think what he would have done, let's say it ended up, we ended up voting and we ended up passing it. I think he would have then said, well, you know, I've been telling that preacher for a year. That's the way it ought to go. And I couldn't be there those two meetings, but man, I knew this is what it's going to be. So I think he was hedging his bets to where he could go either way is what he was doing. And then what was interesting about that, I was probably his pastor for another 3 years and I couldn't hold it against him. He hurt me to my core, but I had to love him and I had to pastor him and his family regardless of what he did to me.
We've got to forgive people when they hurt us, right?
We do. That's the worst part of being a preacher. You got to forgive.
Well, we could even say that about Christians too. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, what? That's the worst part of being a Christian. We got to forgive these
the
people.
The best part is being forgiven.
That's right. Yes.
The worst is forgiving. Yep.
Agreed.
All right.
The last M.
Yeah. So we talked about members. As a member, we've been hurt.
Yep.
As ministers, we've been hurt. What's that last M, Thomas?
Men.
As men. We've been hurt.
Yes. And I shared briefly, you know, when I was talking about the church members who hurt me in that little church, they also hurt Tom Tom. And when they hurt Tom Tom and they hurt Amanda as a man, I was upset about that.
Yeah.
Especially when Amanda told me about what happened, you know, them ignoring little Tom Tom, who is in first or second grade at the time. He doesn't know anything that's happening within the church. He just wants to talk to people and love people and wants to be loved by people. And they hurt him. And as a man, that hurt me. That happens sometimes with my wife too. You know, over the years, there's a lady who says something to my wife and then it comes back to me, you know, or my wife tells me about it. And as a man, I hurt for my family when they were hurt. And I just know that anytime a minister or anytime a member of a church has children in the church, there's going to be points of conflict. There's going to be abrasiveness between other parents and other children. And it takes a lot of forgiveness and moving on to get past those things. Happens all the time.
Thomas, I completely agree. Being hurt as men is usually not someone hurting us, but it goes to our children or our spouses. That's where it is so tough. And some people, I think, know that. If they want to get to us, they know to say something about child or spouse. And it is something that will absolutely bother us in the deepest or cut us the deepest. But as men, we must remember that we are still pastors and we are still ministers. Thomas, I know we rarely do this, but I'm going to bring the Bible into our podcast discussion
Bible?
Here.
Wow.
The Bible. I find it so interesting. 1 Timothy 3, verse number 3. This is from the English Standard Version. In the qualities of, or the qualifications of overseers, elders, bishops, pastors. So the qualification of a pastor, he is not to be a drunkard and he is not to be violent, but gentle. I think some translations may say instead of not violent, they say not a brawler. And so I find it interesting that the Lord in his word reminds us that we cannot be violent and we cannot be a brawler because it would disgrace the name of the Lord. And so just as much as someone might hurt us in saying something about a wife or saying something about a child, we can't go and hurt them because it would hurt the name of Christ. And so often we deal with church hurt in maybe in silence.
Yes.
We deal with church hurt when nobody else knows it. I know when you've been hurt, you know when I've been hurt, but the public general does not know when we've been hurt. We just have to deal with it.
Have to suck it up, buttercup.
That's it.
Deal with it.
And get back on the bicycle, get back in the saddle, and get back in the church.
That's right. Really quickly, what are some things, if a person who is listening has been hurt by the church, what are some things that they can do? I mean, I think to begin with, we have to acknowledge that it is hurt, right?
Yes.
You got to acknowledge that there's hurt. We don't want to sidestep that. We can say of our emotions, yes, I was hurt. That hurt me emotionally. That hurt me spiritually, whatever it may be. But then we can also go to that person almost in that Matthew 18 kind of formula, right? To go to that person and let's see if we can have some reconciliation and some true forgiveness over that.
Yeah, yeah. And I agree. And I do want to remind our readers that sometimes church hurt is a unique pain. You may have never felt this exactly in any other life situation. It's not like your family. It's not like your work. It may be a little bit different and it may be totally unexpected. If you're new to church, you may come in with rose-colored glasses saying, this church is perfect and everyone here is perfect. But like you said earlier at the beginning of this podcast, if you've been in church 10 minutes, that delusion is gone.
Right.
You now see the truth of it. It may affect you differently than it affects someone else. So if you and your spouse or you and your family are going through church hurt, you may work through emotion differently than someone else in your family. So be patient with that other person and ask the other person in your family to be patient with you. It may take some time. It may take some time to work through the church hurt, but know that you can heal up from this. This is not the end. This is not the end. You can heal from church hurt. And I would say one positive way of healing is keeping your eyes on the Lord. The Lord will never hurt you. The Lord will never let you down. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't have people on such a pedestal that they can't fall off. Keep your eyes on the Lord.
People will fail us.
Every time.
Every time.
Yeah.
But the Lord never fails us.
That's right.
People have dark spots on their character and their motives and intentions. Yeah. But God does not.
God doesn't.
God has pure motives, pure intentions. He has no dark spots.
And you know, even the Lord can use church hurt. In the end, maybe he didn't purpose it. I often think back to the life of Joseph. What Joseph's brothers meant for evil, God meant it for good. What that person who hurt you meant for evil, to get you out of that church, put you in your place, God can actually use that for his glory in a weird Romans 8:28 kind of way.
If you've experienced church hurt, then you got to get back on the bicycle.
That's right. You do. So hopefully this podcast will help you get back in the saddle, get back on the seat, and get back in church. Please join us again next time.